listener, we had some technical difficulties with our mic during this recording, but we hope you still enjoy our discussion on Kim's Convenience. Hello and welcome to the Bingeables podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Marissa.
Welcome, Marissa, to the Bingeables podcast. Yay! It's your first ever podcast experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Definitely like kind of like nervous. Just
don't worry, I will help you through this. I am your guide. And listeners, Marissa is one of my dear friends, and she has generously agreed to be a guest because we're about to talk about a really fun comedy, family comedy. So Marissa, since it's your first time being on the Bingeables, let's get to know you a little bit. What are some of your favorite TV shows and or movies?
Yeah, so definitely in terms of TV shows, I like watching a lot of like just like trash reality, especially if it's like dating based. So like I really liked Love is Blind. I still watch like Bachelor in Paradise. Like,
I give so much shit about people who watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
It's bad, yeah. I think this is like the last time I'm gonna like even like put up with it.
It's been on the air. It's been on ABC for years.
Yeah,
years.
It's
and
been
years.
Forever.
Yeah,
yeah. But I probably didn't start watching it till like Rachel's season of The Bachelorette, which is like 4 years ago. So I've only been watching it for like a couple years, and yeah, now like I don't know. It's just getting more and more trash.
What pulled you in to watch this trashy reality show?
Definitely, for sure, just like the drama and knowing like the stakes of it are like higher because it is like, you know, like their real lives that they're like going and like getting engaged to somebody they've only known for like a few weeks. So definitely like just the higher stakes, and definitely for sure like the drama, like there was always people who it turned out like they had a girlfriend while they were contestants, like stuff like that.
Trash.
Yeah.
What are some of the other shows that you or movies that you like?
I really like rom-com movies. So like Never Been Kissed is like one of my like favorite ones. It's a little bit older. It has like Drew Barrymore in it.
Oh, yeah. I remember her being in a bunch of those. It was from the 90s, right?
Yeah. It has like Jessica Alba as like a teenager, like playing a teenager. but yeah, it's super fun. And then I like watching soaps, so like General Hospital I've been watching.
Okay, so this is the first time I've heard you ever talk about a daytime soap. So I want to cut in for a second because I grew up watching All My Children.
Oh, yeah.
And As the World Turns.
Oh.
I caught a little bit of General Hospital. I know it's award-winning, and I know it's been on forever because All My Children got canceled, and As the World Turns also got canceled. I think Guiding Light got canceled.
Probably. A lot of them have been getting canceled.
Yeah, because, like, I don't know how the funding works for daytime soaps, but, like, now it's just General Hospital and, what, One Life to Live?
I don't think One Life to Live has any anymore either. But I know The Bold and the Beautiful still has
episodes. Bold and the Beautiful, yeah. The Young and the Restless.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. Okay, yeah.
A lot of the people from GH end up there.
So when did you start watching General Hospital?
So I kind of started, my mom's always been watching them. So I kind of started young because, you know, like she would have them on and I would like be in the room. So I used to watch there's main three where they were on like consecutively for like 3 hours, and it was All My Children, General Hospital, and One Life to Live, because they all kind of took place in Port Charles.
I remember.
Oh, and they used to have Port Charles too. They had to cancel it because they did like a vampire thing.
Oh.
And they kind of just like backed it into a wall where they had to just like cancel. But yeah, that was probably like when I was like 10 years old. And then I stopped, like, probably once I got around to, like, high school, I, you know, they had already canceled most of them. And then I really liked Jason in General Hospital, but he got killed off at one point.
He's good looking, but like I don't think he's like super hot. I don't
Oh
know.
yeah, for sure. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm not like, I mean, he's obviously like old. Like you can still like, even though he's like muscular, like you can still tell like he's an old guy. But yeah, they had killed him off, so then I was like, not on board. But then they brought him back, and they brought back like the original actor. So I was like, okay, I'm like on board again, and now I've been watching it ever since. And that was like about 3 or 4 years ago.
Gotcha. All right. What are some of your hobbies outside of watching movies and TV shows?
Yeah, I don't have too many anymore. I used to do like I took like the social dance class in college, so I used to do like that stuff, but now like with COVID, like I kind of just dropped that hobby. I still like play Animal Crossing sometimes as well, so I'll do mostly I just I, like I am really more of like a movies and TV person, so really it's just like Animal Crossing and like just like spending time with my cat. Maybe like online shopping every now and then.
I also have my cat, as you know. Do you want to talk a little bit about Sage, your cat, or do you want to move on?
We can talk about her.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
always open to talking about her. Yeah, her name is Sage. She's 2 years old. I adopted her when she was 7 months during the pandemic. I had been already looking before, so I didn't like just get her because I was bored or anything. But yeah, I adopted her when she was 7 months. Had her ever since. She's really quiet. Really, she's like my little shadow. So that's fun.
She's a bit of a scary cat, though.
Yeah. And she's a scaredy cat, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, moving on to our Whatcha Bingin' segment. I will start off. I haven't been binging on too much besides the show we're about to talk about. Clickbait is on Netflix. It like just came out, I think, last week, and it's like on the top 10 trending.
Yeah.
And okay, so this is how I feel because Netflix is always cranking out series and movies. I'm at a point now where, like, if it's too mainstream right away, I'm just gonna hate it right away, unless I actually give it a chance. And I know that's kind of a bad approach to go about it. But I don't know. Like, I was a Netflix user before Netflix got cool. I know that sounds bad. So clickbait is trending right now. I think it was like number one or two. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a chance. I like it. The premise sounded
Yeah.
interesting. Did you watch it too?
I haven't yet, but it does seem really, I want
Okay,
to. People
okay.
have been talking about it.
No spoilers, of course. It's kind of a mystery. And as you know, most Netflix shows now, they're just like 8 episodes. So it'll go by really fast. I think I finished this in like 3 days or
Oh, wow.
yeah, 'cause I normally just watch after work. And then if I stop for whatever reason, it's 'cause I just want to watch like a comedy, 'cause this one's a drama. Yeah. So I binged on that and I actually really liked it, and so did Isaac. And normally he hates on stuff more than me. So that if that gives you any indication. And I've been binging as much as I can, season two of Star Trek Lower Decks. It's on Paramount Plus. And they're only releasing weekly episodes. So I've purposely been like waiting until enough accumulate to be able to binge it. So right now I've only watched 4 episodes. I think 5 and 6 are out, but I'm not gonna watch it yet until maybe next week when 7 comes out. What have you been binging on,
Gosh, it's hard when you watch daytime soaps because it's like those are on every day. Aside from that, I have been watching like the earlier seasons of Bachelor in Paradise. Like, yeah.
Marissa? No. No.
I did just finish like a Netflix like mini series, like docuseries. It was like about 9/11. But it goes more like in depth. So they talk about like Al Qaeda's like origins, and they talk about like you know the war in Afghanistan. They go into like whole separate episodes about different you know kind of like things that were either like maybe a result or like catalyst to 9/11. So it's just really like interesting because we, you know, just like in the news, what we see, we kind of just get the highlights of everything that happened, especially like anyone probably like around like our age where like, you know, we were really young when it happened. So like, we don't.
I remember I was in third grade when news broke.
Yeah, I was in second grade.
My teacher turned on the TV. The tiny ass TV in the top corner that they mount it is just like, you expect all your students to be able to see what's going on. Yeah, I remember that. And she turned on the TV and we saw the news break out. It was awful.
But yeah, it was interesting though. It's
I still need to watch it. I need to watch it. Yeah. You recommend it?
Yeah, it's really good. It's very informational. So if you like, you know, like learning about things, getting.
I do.
Well, you know, interviews, things like that. I think it's really good watch.
Okay. All right. Well, we are 10 minutes in. Let's get started on the show itself. We are here to talk about Kim's Convenience by Inns Choi. The show was released on Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or CBC Television. And it is available to stream on Netflix. The show ran for 5 seasons, and it ran from October 2016 to April 2021. So the final season is now available, so you can watch the whole thing. And I will say, this isn't a spoiler or anything, but when I finished the 4th season back on my binge a few months ago, I was like, wait. Did they cancel the show? Was there going to be a new season? And then like a week or two later, the next season came out. So I was just like, oh, yay. Because you know how some shows, they don't have to be Netflix specific shows, but some shows, they just get canceled and you never know like what happens next.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So luckily, Kim's Convenience was not one of those shows. They were able to wrap things up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, and this is just going to be our spoiler-free preview, so we've already finished watching this show, and we're just going to explain why we think geeks should watch it.
So the official synopsis from IMDb, I always pull from IMDb, they're like my source of truth, about Kim's Convenience is the misadventures of a Korean-Canadian family running a convenience store. So pretty on the dot.
Yeah, on the nose is one too.
Yeah.
All right.
I was like, what was I about to say? I think I was going to say it wrong.
No, you got it.
All right. So let's get to the nitty gritty. Why did we choose this show to talk about? I'm going to start with two big reasons. So it's a fun family sitcom that is based in Canada, and it just portrays a very authentic family dynamic, and it breaks stereotypes about Asians. I was going to say Asian Americans, but this is set in Canada. So Asian Canadians, I'm going to get this mixed up. I guess just the Asian community. I'll just say that from now on. It breaks stereotypes about the Asian community. And honestly, like, this is going to segue to my next reason. Representation matters. Like, you just don't see hardly any shows featuring Asian leads. And as somebody growing up in the U.S., like, I never saw an Asian person lead a show or a movie. They were always the side character. Or if they weren't even a side character, they would probably like show up for one role and like have like one line. And it's usually going to be like that thick immigrant accent that's always portrayed in like a very dehumanizing manner. It's going to be, if it's like a show about a high school, high school students, I mean, it'll be like that one Asian student who like plays the violin or the cello or piano or whatnot. Like, the stereotypes are there. They've always been there in media. Hollywood is to blame, obviously, but I mean, they're not the only ones who do it. And it was really nice to see that there's a show, Kim's Convenience that's like pushing boundaries. The leading cast is all Asians. And yeah, I think I kind of got on a soapbox there. But I'm going to include a very short clip with the lead actor, Paul Sun Hyung Lee, who talks about representation at one of the big awards in Canada and why representation matters, at least to him.
Yeah, okay, one more time. I have to admit, this is probably one of my biggest fears realized because last year was so unexpected. And how do you top last year? Well, this is a good start. So I have too many people to say thank you to, so I won't bore all of you guys at home by naming them out right now. Instead, I'll bore them individually as I meet them because they know who they are, and I love them very much. I need to say that representation matters. I think a show like Kim's Convenience is proof that representation matters because when communities and people see themselves reflected up on the screens, it is an inspiring and a very powerful moment for them because it means they've moved from the margins into the forefront, and it gives them a voice and it gives them hope. And hope is a very empowering thing because it inspires people. And when you give people a voice, other people start listening. And when people start listening, things start to change. And we need change. We need to affect change. And there's this little button here. It means a lot. And better people than I can speak more to it than I will. But it's time for all of us to listen as well. I just want to say thank you to the Academy. Thank you to my Kim's family, my cast, my mom, my dad, my sister, my wife, Noah, Miles at home. You can start playing video games now. So, anyways. Okay, see you.
All right, Marissa, what are some of your reasons for wanting to talk about this show?
Definitely one of my top ones, which I'm sure is kind of obvious because of the genre, but it is really funny. I've always kind of looked at family sitcoms in like two buckets of like, either it's like an ABC type of family sitcom where like you actually kind of get to know the characters and like their stories, or it's like a formerly ABC Family, like but Freeform now type of sitcom where it's kind of more like cheesy and like lots of laugh tracks and things like that. And I definitely feel like this one's more on like the first bucket where like, you know, you really get to know the characters, which just makes it a little more enjoyable. And I feel like the jokes are more authentic to like the family, like their experiences, rather than kind of just, you know, them trying to just throw in one-liners that are maybe just like trendy at the time or like mainstream, which I thought was really good. And then another one is like all the main characters, you know, I feel like unlike a lot of other family sitcoms, their kids are like more adult age. So I feel like there's a little bit more for everybody to relate to because it does focus, like I feel like it gives really good emphasis on both like the parents as individuals, as well as, you know, I say children, but like they're grownups. And so I just feel like that's really good as well. Just gives everybody just a little bit more to connect to from like, you know, different generations and different ages.
All right. Moving on to our cast members. We have Paul Sun Hyung Lee as Appa. And I guess I should have started off by saying Appa is like Korean for dad. Like it's the informal version of dad. So his children call him Appa. So whenever you see like the Netflix like episode summaries and stuff, you'll just see Appa instead of like his formal name.
I'm a Mr. Kim and this is my store. I'm working very hard every day. My wife, Mrs. Kim, is working hard too. We're a very happy family. What? One day, my daughter Janet did take over store.
I'm not taking over the store.
What's wrong with the store?
Okay, maybe not now, but
I'm not taking over the store ever, okay?
So, Paul Sung Hyung Lee, he has recently guest starred in The Mandalorian as Captain Carson Teva. So I will admit, I'm a bad geek. I haven't watched The Mandalorian, but I'm guessing some of our listeners have. So if the name is familiar to you, Paul Sung Hyung Lee was a guest star for that show.
Yeah, and then we have Jean Yoon as Uma, and kind of like similar thing that Chinlin said, that's also kind of like they're referencing like their mother. So like also in the descriptions, it has her as that. So just heads up, that's who they're referencing.
Hi, I am Mrs. Kim. My son is Jung, and my daughter is Janet. Boss is very successful. I think I am good parent. And when you is good parent, you have a good family. Jung!
Appa!
Respect for family.
Did you just call Nayeon a slut?
I say she dressed like slut. Happy family. That's what good parents do.
What's that happened?
The usual Uma's ruining my life. If you don't mingle, you stay single.
What?
Right, and she actually got her start in theater in the early 1980s. And she acted as well as she actually also was a playwright. She's pretty cool. And then she's also guest starred in The Expanse and Orphan Black.
Have you seen The Expanse or Orphan Black?
I actually haven't seen either of those shows.
It's okay. I haven't either. Okay. The Expanse is something I know Isaac is interested in, but he mm-hmm. wants to read the books first. And then Orphan Black, oh my God. Like, I was too late to this show, so I just, I was like, forget it. I'll just watch it later. But I still haven't gotten to it. It's about this woman who has, like, clones.
Oh, I honestly didn't even know what it was about. I don't think I had...
You've never heard of it? Like, just in general?
I've heard the name, but,
okay.
like...
Okay, it's because it's won a bunch of awards. So yeah. I think, yeah, it's probably a must-watch for later. But she's guest starred in that as well.
All right, so then we have Andrea Bang as Janet, which she's kind of, I guess, the like protagonist child in a way. But yeah, she plays their, I believe, youngest child. And yeah, she's probably about like 19 in college, artsy.
Hi, I'm Janet. My family runs a convenience store and I study photography. My parents are mostly supportive.
Take out the garbage. Don't take a picture of the garbage.
My brother left home at 16, which I'm fine with.
I'm seriously overparented because you're not around.
So it's been on me to keep the peace.
Appa, that is such a messed up idea.
You messed up idea.
No, Appa, that is...
You know.
What?
You what?
Stop doing that.
You stop.
So if I stop...
You saw if I stop.
All right, and she actually also starred in a Canadian dramedy series called Running with Violet, and she is in a handful of short films as well since 2015. All right, and then of course we have Simu Liu as Zhang, which I'm sure at this point a lot of people know him as Shang-Chi, but he is also in this show, so that right there is a good reason to watch.
Okay, quick pause before we have a quick clip on Zhang. So, in my rewatch, I noticed something. Some characters pronounce his name Chung, like yes. with a CH sound. Yeah. But then in writing and in the subtitles and other characters, they pronounce it Jung.
Yeah.
So, like, now I'm not sure. Like, do I pronounce it as Jung or Chung?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even as I was saying that, I was like, well, was I supposed to say Chung?
I don't want to offend anybody. And I'm just like, should we just decide how we should say his name right now on the podcast?
Let's go. Have you ever noticed if like how his parents pronounce it?
I think they say Jung.
Okay, let's say Jung then. If his parents say it Jung, that's probably
yeah, that's
the right way. Because I only notice like Kimchi and Shannon saying Jung most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Shannon. Yeah, Shannon will say Jung.
Because I started noticing it like, later in the show when they, well, but yeah.
Got it. Okay, so you and I will pronounce his name Jung.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Chung. I work at Handy Car Rental. My dad kicked me out of the house when I was 16 because, well, my dad's complicated.
1910! Japan attack Korea!
Stop!
But I'm over it.
That's my dad.
I can't talk to him. I get along with my sister.
So you're never gonna talk to him again?
And my mom.
Oh, wait, you can't go in there.
Close door.
This is my manager's office.
What are you gonna do? That's family.
I'm his mommy. Please excuse. Thank you.
Okay, I just need my insulin.
5 more minutes, please.
Okay, I'll just have an orange.
Right, and then, yeah, so he's, of course, best known as Shawn or Shang-Chi in the Marvel movie Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. And he's actually also guest starred in Awkwafina's show, Nora from Queens, as well as Fresh Off the Boat.
Before Marissa and I started podcasting, like 2 months ago or something, I asked you if you were if you would be interested in watching Awkwafina's show. And I forgot, were you either not into it or you just didn't have access to it?
I think I did have access to it. I just, Kim's Convenience was more like...
Your vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was more like further on my list. So I was like, okay, well, I'll watch that one first.
Okay, okay. Because I really love Awkwafina's show. It's another comedy. It's another... It is about sort of a family, but it's not centered exactly on the family. Like, Awkwafina's family members in that show, like, they're more like subplots. So it's really more just about Awkwafina. But it's another show that also features Asians as leads. And I also highly recommend that. And I've already watched Fresh Off the Boat. I was so happy when it started airing. Like, I would watch it every, like, I think Tuesdays or something is when it aired on ABC. But yeah, that was a good show too. And then next we have our three supporting characters. There's more than three. I just listed three because you see them the most. So we have Andrew Fung as Kimchi. Andrew Fung has guest starred in Winona Earp as Casey. I have not watched Winona Earp. And I think I tried watching the pilot a while back, and it just wasn't my vibe.
I haven't heard of it even.
It's a sci-fi show.
Oh.
Like okay. On the Sci-Fi Network.
Okay, there we go.
And we have Nicole Power as Shannon. Shannon is one of the employees at Jung's place, workplace. I mean. And this is not like super spoilery, but Nicole Power is going to be in a spinoff of Kim's Convenience called Strays. I don't know any other details besides that. Like, I had no idea there was even going to be a spinoff after I watched the final season.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing my research for our notes and I was like, wait, what's this? Oh, they're going to make a spinoff. Okay. And then last but not least, we have Amanda Brugger. Brugel. Brugel? I don't know.
I don't know.
Amanda Brugel as Pastor Nina. So she is also very well known for her supporting role in The Handmaid's Tale as Rita. Have you watched The Handmaid's Tale?
I've started it. I'm very slow, so I think I maybe just finished the first season.
Okay.
But I'm going to get better.
Okay.
I want to finish it.
So, is it a hard binge because it's a dystopian? Okay.
Definitely, for sure. And especially, like, us being in Texas and, like, the way things are going, it's, like, kind of, like, a harder one to, like, binge.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I will say this. The first time I watched the first episode, the pilot of Handmaid's Tale, I was like, I knew what I was watching. It's just, it's one thing to know what you're about to watch, and it's another thing to actually experience it for the first time. So after I watched that pilot, I was just like, oh God, I can't watch this. I took a break from Handmaid's Tale for like 3 weeks. So it took me a month to essentially get back to watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second episode was better. And then I was able to watch the rest. I can't remember how Hulu released the episodes when the show started. It was either weekly or they did like some batches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they'll release like two or three in a week, like that first batch. I can't remember, but I did eventually binge it. It was hard to binge, for sure, but it's really good drama. All right, so we are going to wrap up on spoiler-free fun facts about Kim's Convenience. So I pulled these from IMDb and a website called Narcity. I've never heard of it, but they had fun facts, so I'm using them. Okay, so the first fun fact is, in the course of 6 years, the show has accumulated 57 award nominations and 24 wins across the Canadian Screen Awards, the Directors Guild of Canada, and many more I'm not going to list because, you know, it's on their IMDb and you guys can look it up. Marissa, would you like to read the second one?
Sure. So another fun fact we have is that the interior set of the convenience store in Kim's Convenience is actually an exact replica of a real downtown Toronto corner store called Mimi Variety.
So that was pretty cool because, like, I know like a lot of shows, they'll be set in like a real city and they'll take like a real place, but they'll completely change the inside of how it looks.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was cool. And I think I later read that Mimi Variety, the actual store in Toronto, mm-hmm. they actually changed their name to Kim's Convenience.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like, I don't know the legality of that, but I guess they had approval.
Yeah.
To use the show's name. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I guess it's not a trademark. Like, can you trademark a show?
I don't know. But maybe also because it's like, you know, they kind of used their store and like made it this whole big thing. So maybe they're kind of like, I can do whatever I want.
it's a two-way street kind of situation.
Yeah. Like, it's like, well, they probably made a bunch of money off of this whole show and they have their store. So.
Okay. Fun fact number three. The show is actually based on the 2011 play Kim's Convenience. And Paul Sun-Hyung Lee and Jean Yoon were also Uppa and Umma in the play as well. So the creator, Inns Choi, he wrote the play based on like his own experience back in, I think, the 1990s was what I read. So it's the immigrant experience, right? He's writing from his own experience. His uncle owned a convenience store in LA in the 90s. So it wasn't his father, but it was his uncle, another family relative. So it's still a lot of what he went through.
All right. And then for our last fact, we have that Canada's Hello Magazine named Simu Liu as one of their top 25 hottest bachelors, and that was actually in 2017.
I mean, he's still a pretty hot bachelor, even in 2021. Although, sure. I don't follow him on social media, so I don't know for sure if he's a bachelor still, but,
yeah,
like, that man is so fun.
Yeah, for sure. I looked it up. I think it's kind of like, oh, he might be, but, like, nothing, like, super public or like everybody knows, which good enough for me.
All right. Well, this wraps up our spoiler-free preview of Kim's Convenience. So we hope you follow us on this binge-watching journey and watch the show. And we will be back in 2 weeks to talk about the entire 5 seasons. All right. Well, see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/bingeablespod.
You can connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin MacLeod.